Lilith Albright rattled across the heath on the back of her motorcycle, pushing for speed as though it were possible to outrun the inevitable. Dark clouds scudded over the broad, open countryside, the brown fields broken by tumbled stone walls or hedges of twisted gorse. The wind was still sharp with the lingering bite of winter. It was hardly an ideal day for a ride, but Lily had not taken the green, mud-spattered Triumph out for a pleasure cruise. It was an escape, and it was futile. What she was running from could not be outpaced. That was the trouble with the future. It began early that morning with the wash basin. Lily splashed the cold water over her face. Drops ran down the line of her jaw and fell into the enameled bowl, shattering the surface of the water into a thousand tiny ripples. The ripples coursed across the shallow reflection of her features, her mother's infamous auburn hair, her father's sharp grey eyes. Then the moving water transformed, shifting to become a whirlwind of light, spinning snow. The blizzard obscured the uncomfortable familiarity of her face, devouring it in a veil of white that parted to reveal a new scene, the open door to her building on March Place in Bloomsbury. Icy flakes spun around her, blowing in to dust the worn carpet. In the vision, Lily drifted across the threshold. Besides the snow on the floor, the hallway looked as it always did. The walls were papered in a rust-hued paisley, accented with a still-life painting of a pair of oily pilchards, resting next to a mug of flat ale. The air smelled vaguely of boiled nettles. Light spilled down from the landing above, coming from the open door to the flat that set directly beneath her own. These were the rooms where her neighbour, Estelle, lived with her companion, Miss Bard. Lily rose to the landing and looked inside. The living room was empty save for the dog on the rug. The animal was pale green and split precisely in half. It lay in a pile of ashes, looking up at Lily with sad eyes. She moved past it, drawn toward the bedroom. The air felt stuffy, crowded with some unseen presence. Estelle sat at her vanity, gazing into the mirror, her eyes locked on the closet behind her, the door of which sat ajar. Inside, something moved. It was a subtle shift of the shadows, accompanied by a soft tinkling of glass-like bottles, dancing in a milkman's crate. The shifting gathered mass, took on speed, and rushed into the room. It swept toward them in a shape both like and unlike that of a man. It thrust forward a long silver weapon, thin and sharp as a fencer's sword. The glittering point met the skin of Estelle's arm, and the mirror shattered, cracks spiderwebbing from side to side. In her seat at the vanity, Estelle tipped backwards. Her descent halted abruptly halfway to the floor. Suspended, her thin body swung from the chair and passed out of the room, heels dragging on the rug. The snow came in, whirling with blinding intensity. The storm passed, and Lily was somewhere else, somewhere strange and wrapped in darkness. The air smelled acrid, chemical. The walls around her were made of stacked glass, bottles and jars that caught and reflected the ghostly image of a flickering flame, then multiplied it in myriad dark, shimmering facets.
"Thief,"
said a voice from behind her, hoarse and thick, with an unfamiliar accent. It was Estelle. Lily turned to see her sitting on a flat wooden table, her face white and pale as death. She held a hand to her throat. Blood seeped through her fingers, staining the bright blue of her robe. Her eyes were wide, staring vacantly into the nothingness over Lily's shoulder. Smoke curled around her feet, tendrils rising to embrace her.
"Murderer,"
she said, raising a long, trembling hand.